as followers of Jesus, we're permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The moment that you came to believe in Jesus, God gave you His Holy Spirit, and He is never going to leave you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will live in you forever. But nevertheless, though, right now, here and now, we need to make daily decisions, to choose daily to walk in dependence on the power of the Spirit.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
I'm going to ask you a question here this morning. Do you ever find it difficult to live the Christian life? Anyone ever find that difficult sometimes? Yeah. Someone once said, you know, the Christian life isn't difficult, it's impossible. And what they meant by that is it isn't just a hard thing to live the Christian life, but that, in fact, it's impossible to do it apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That if it's something that we ourselves are trying to do, we're destined to fail. Because the calling God has for you and me is that calling to be like Christ, to be perfect. Anybody here perfect? Anybody here think you're going to be perfect anytime soon this side of heaven? I don't think so, right? And so, yeah, it's a challenge. And so sometimes it's difficult, and we wish that we were growing more than we are. We wish we were a little further on than we are. And sometimes maybe even wonder a little bit how much different you are than you were if you were not a believer. How much different would you be if you weren't a believer at all? And sometimes, too, it can get discouraging, can it? And it can get discouraging when we look at the church sometimes. Now, not this church. I'm talking about other churches out there, you know, not this church. But sometimes it can get a little discouraging when we look at the church sometimes. And maybe you feel a little bit like the person who said this. He said, many Christians are careful to observe certain times, places, and rituals of worship, but when the service of the church is over, they are but like those that profess no regard for religion. In their manner of life, in the way they spend their time and money, in their cares and worries, fears and pleasures, indulgences and diversions, it is often impossible to distinguish professing Christians from the rankest unbelievers until they once again unite to sing of their love and devotion to Jesus. Wow, those are some tough words, isn't it? But sometimes we feel that, don't we? Or we see that. And you think, yeah, I see that. Well, you know who said that? It was a man named William Law. And he said that in 1761. So I want you to know that this is something that the church has struggled with for all of its history, isn't it? And that the more things change, the more they stay the same, right? And the human fallen nature has not changed. And we as believers in Jesus Christ, we still have that fallen nature within us, that fleshly nature that struggles then against us and what the Spirit wants in us. So today then, we are going to be concluding our series in the fruit of the Spirit. We've been calling this soul construction, saying that God is doing the greatest construction project in history, which is making all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. But at the center of His plan are countless men and women like you all throughout human history. He is remaking sinful people like me and you and undertaking a great work of soul construction in us. His goal is to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ, His holy likeness. He uses many different means to bring about that goal, including spiritual disciplines, but also, though, sometimes that very powerful and unpleasant tool of hardship and difficulty. But the power, we've said a lot about the fruit of the Spirit. We haven't said so much about the power that God uses. The power that God uses to accomplish this is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And so that is what we're going to focus on today, is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And our challenge here is to keeping in step with the Spirit of God then. You see today that as followers of Jesus, we're permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The moment that you came to believe in Jesus, God gave you His Holy Spirit, and He is never going to leave you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will live in you forever. But nevertheless, though, right now, here and now, we need to make daily decisions, to choose daily to walk in dependence on the power of the Spirit. So we're going to look again at our passage here in Galatians 5. Remember, Paul is talking to some believers in Galatia who they were saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but now some of them were trying to grow in that faith through their own fleshly efforts. They were falling back into kind of a religious works or legalism kind of attitude then, struggling to live those new righteous lives because they had failed to understand that just as we are saved by grace, so too we are made righteous and holy by grace. And we grow then, we grow in God's righteousness and the perfection of Christ by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Let's look again at Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Amen. We've seen the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Our focus has been on these qualities, these attributes, these characteristics that God is producing in you and in me. But what about that power source for change, for growth? Well, the Holy Spirit is the power source for this great work of soul construction. But we need to cooperate with the work of the Spirit, and therein lies the rub, right? There is the challenge. It's all by God's power, but yet you and I must choose daily to submit to that power, to yield to Him, to confess our sin, to trust in Him, to put our faith in Him and in His power. Some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, you know, there are many wonderful things that the Holy Spirit has done for you. The Holy Spirit was involved in creation. The Holy Spirit, when we pick up the Word of God, it's revelation. It is the revelation of God Himself. And the Scriptures were what? They were inspired by the Spirit. So we have our Word by the inspiration of the Spirit. Conviction. He convicts you of sin and me of sin. He convicts the world of sin. Regeneration. It means He makes us alive. He takes us from a place of being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. Baptism, meaning that when we believe in Jesus, that moment you believe, you are baptized into the body of Christ. And then the Scripture says that you have been sealed by the Spirit. And that means God has put His mark of ownership on you. When you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit puts His mark of ownership on you. You're sealed by Him, meaning then that you belong to Him. And you will belong to Him for how long? Forever, right? So those are some of the ministries, a few others, indwelling. When you believe, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you. It's a relationship of intimacy so profound and so deep that He is living within you. Also, assurance that He assures you that you are a child of God. His Spirit, the Spirit of God, testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God. He gives you gifts and abilities to serve the church, to serve people. But then also interceding, which is just another way of saying what? Praying, that He prays for you before the throne of the Father. And then this last thing that we want to focus on here today is empowering, that the Christian life isn't difficult. It's impossible, right? It's impossible in the power of our own flesh and our own strength. But it is possible through the power of the Spirit. But we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Now, how am I defining that here? I'm going to say it's this, that keeping in step with the Spirit means this, that it is a life of continual submission. It is a life of continual submission to the Spirit, confession of sin, and trusting in the Spirit's wisdom and power. So there's a submission or a yieldedness to Him. There is a confession, immediate, ongoing confession of sin. And then it's trusting, it's faith, faith in Him, faith in His wisdom, His leading, His power in us. So keeping in step with the Spirit, a life of continual submission, confession of sin, and trusting in the Spirit's wisdom and power. I want to look at some scripture verses then that talk about what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. Some things that we need to remember, to realize, to take hold of these things. First one is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Now here, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. It is that night of right before the crucifixion where He is gathered with His disciples in the upper room there. And they are celebrating the Passover meal. And Jesus is giving them some parting instructions here. And He says this in John 14, verse 15, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." So the first thing I want us to understand about keeping in step with the Spirit today is that we have been given the Spirit to help us obey. You know, Jesus says that's the mark of love. Jesus says, if you love Me, you will obey My commandments. In fact, the Apostle John also says what? We can't claim to love God, but then walk in sin and disobedience to Him, can we? And so, if we truly love God, we will obey Him. Now, I don't know about you, but as I hear those are kind of disturbing words, aren't they? Because I know that you can think of a number of occasions where you have shown your love for God and you obeyed Him, but I bet there are some other occasions you can think of where you weren't obedient, and you know there's a struggle there with that, isn't it? That struggle is real. Struggle is deep. But God has given us a greater power than that sinful flesh within us. And that's why He sent us the Helper. Aren't you glad that He didn't just say, okay, if you love Me, obey My commandments, and then He did nothing to help us obey Him? That would be tragic, wouldn't it? A life of continual defeat, guilt, frustration, despair. But when we understand we've been given a Helper, that changes that guilt and defeat and despair into joy and peace and hope. He's given us another Helper, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He is another one of the same kind, a divine help, a divine Helper. And He will be with you how long? Forever. Now you think about that. The Spirit is with you now. He lives in you now. He indwells you now. And is He going to indwell you tomorrow and the next day? How about 1,000 years from now? Or 1,000,000 years from now. Forever. We can go on and on forever, right? There's no end. He will be with you forever. And He is the Spirit of truth. You know, we live in an age which is debating that word truth and the meaning of truth. Stay tuned for that. That's another series coming up later in the fall. But for right now, though, truth isn't just a concept. Ultimately, truth is, and truth isn't dependent on someone's perceptions or feelings. Ultimately, truth is a person. Truth is God. He is truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He is truth, and He tells us the truth about ourselves, too, doesn't He? Everything that He says is true. He is the Spirit of truth. It says the unbelieving world cannot receive Him. Why? Because it doesn't seek Him, and it doesn't recognize Him. But for you who do know Him, He dwells within you. He told His disciples here, for He dwells with you and will be in you. See, they had not yet received the Spirit. Now, the Spirit was with them, but he did not yet indwell them. That would not come later, until Pentecost. But for us, we're living after that. So the moment you believed, he isn't just with you. He is what? He is in you. He is in you. So as a believer today, know that this call that God has placed on your life and mine to obey him, he's given you the help, the helper, in order to do it. He's not given you and me an impossible command to follow. Second thing I want us to understand about keeping in the step with the Spirit is that we're both saved and sanctified. We grow by the Spirit's power, not by our own efforts. Just like we couldn't save ourselves by our own efforts, we can't grow ourselves or sanctify ourselves by our own efforts. In fact, Paul touches on this very theme a little bit earlier in Galatians, where he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So we have been given the Spirit to help us obey, and also we are both saved and sanctified by the Spirit's power." How are we saved? By our works of our fleshly efforts to do good, to do right? No. We're saved by faith. We're saved by a work of God's Spirit in us. Now, in the same way, then, how are we sanctified? That is, how do we grow in our faith? Is it by our fleshly efforts to obey the law, to do good, to be the best people we can be? No, in the same way, we're saved by faith in God and what God has done for us. We're saved by faith in the power of the Spirit working in us. So we are both saved and sanctified by the Spirit's power. Saved by him, but also made more holy and mature in Christ by him. Received by faith. Abraham was justified not by any works he did, but by his faith. Abraham grew in that faith, not by any efforts on his own part, but by faith as well in the Spirit. So too was me. Here's some other things I want us to understand about keeping in step with the Spirit, and that is that we must not grieve the Spirit. We must not grieve the Spirit. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Paul here says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So if we keep in step with the Spirit, then we must not grieve him. Here in Ephesians here, Paul spends those first three chapters laying out who we are in Christ, our position in Christ. And then in the last three chapters, chapters 4 through 6, he lays out their application for us. How then, since therefore we are in Christ, how then should we live? Take action then, and how we are to live. Therefore, based on who you are in Christ now, do this. What? Speak the truth. Don't sin in your anger. Don't steal, but rather work honestly. Share with others. Speak words that build others up and don't tear them down. But then here then, do not grieve the Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grieve the Spirit. How do you suppose we grieve? By the way, some people have this idea that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is like this power or force of God, this impersonal power or force. Now, I agree he's powerful, but he is not an impersonal power or force. Never speak of the Spirit of God as it. It always speak of him as he, as he is a person. Would you speak of God the Father as it? Would you speak of Jesus the Son of God as it? Same way, do not speak of the Spirit of God as it. He is he. Can you grieve an impersonal force? Can you grieve electricity? Now, recently we had someone here in our church family who had a problem with lightning. Lightning struck his house, and he was grieving what this impersonal force did to him, did to his property, right? Do you think the electricity was grieving what it did to this poor man? But it did. No, you don't grieve or cause a power force. Right, it enjoyed it. Yeah, actually, probably is what he said, right? No. But you cannot grieve an electrical force. But we're told, do not grieve the Spirit. What does this tell us about the Spirit? That he's a person, right? Just like the Father and the Son. So how then do you think we grieve the person of the Holy Spirit? How do we grieve him? How do we make him sad? What makes him grieve? Our sin, our disobedience. We grieve the Spirit through our disobedience, or perhaps through our unbelief. It says, we were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Again, there's God's mark of ownership on you, that you belong to him. And how long will you belong to him? Forever, for the day of redemption. What is the day of redemption? That is the day when God will complete that good work of salvation that he has begun in you. Do not grieve him. How do we grieve him? Well, by being disobedient to him. We also then, we must not quench the Spirit. We must not quench the Spirit. So look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12. It says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. These are hard things to do, aren't they? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For this is God's will for us to do all these things. Well, I don't know if I can do that. How can I do that? Well, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. So we must not grieve the Spirit, but we must not quench the Spirit. Paul tells us there that in 1 Thessalonians that the day of the Lord is coming. But he says what? That you as believers, that we are not destined for wrath, but we are destined for something much better, for the obtaining of salvation through Christ. And therefore, we must encourage one another and build one another up. So how can we encourage one another and build one another up? Well, he tells us there, by respecting and loving your spiritual leaders, being at peace among yourselves. By the way, I think that's one of the best ways you can love spiritual leadership is by being at peace among yourselves. I'm just saying. That's another sermon, isn't it? Admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all, seek to do good, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. These things are hard to do in the flesh, aren't they? So we need the Spirit's power. And that's why it says, do not quench the Spirit. It's been suggested that a way that you could translate that or paraphrase it this way by saying, do not put out the Spirit's fire. When you quench a fire, what do you do? Like you throw water on it and you're quenching that fire, right? That's the idea here. Don't do that to the Spirit's fire in you. Don't extinguish it. Don't put it out. Well, How do we put out the Spirit's fire? How do we quench it? Again, it's what? Disobedience and unbelief. Being disobedient to what he says and not trusting him for what he says. Disobedience and unbelief quench, put out the Spirit's fire in us. Last one then I want us to see today for keeping in step with the Spirit. Must not grieve him, we must not quench him, but rather we must be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we must be filled with the Spirit. Here we're told, be careful how you walk. You know, in Scripture, to walk, in Scripture, it's how we live. It's following a certain course in life. It's conducting yourself in a certain way. It's your manner of life. So he says, be careful. Pay close attention to your manner of life, to how you're living. Look carefully at that. Be wise. Don't be foolish. Make the best use of your time. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. And then he gives us a wonderful illustration then of what it means to be walking with the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. He says we need to be filled with the Spirit, but he uses an illustration of what? Of being filled with wine. He says, do not be drunk with wine, for that leads to debauchery. I don't know what your experience is, but I have seen that drunkenness generally doesn't lead to anything good in people's lives. Have you noticed that? Seeing that generally doesn't lead to anything good. So he says, so don't get drunk with wine, for that leads to debauchery, all manner of ill things. But rather, don't be filled with wine, be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit. See, what happens when you're filled with wine? You are under the control of that alcohol, right? It influences how you think, how you speak, what you say, what you do, right? So don't be filled with wine, rather be filled with the Spirit. So to be filled with the Spirit simply means to be under the influence, under the control of the Spirit. Under the influence, the power, the control of the Spirit. You know, Scripture tells us that we are baptized once in the Spirit, by the Spirit. Meaning what? When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are baptized, you are placed into the body of Christ. You're baptized by the Spirit, and the Spirit comes to dwell within you. And that happens once. But filling, being filled with the Spirit, is something that must happen repeatedly, again and again and again. And I've always liked this story here. The 19th century evangelist D.L. Moody. In fact, I think there's a school that was named after him. But anyway, when he would speak on this topic of being filled with the Spirit and the need for it constantly, to constantly be filled with the Spirit, he was asked, why do you need to be filled so often with the Spirit? And his answer was this, because I leak. Can anybody relate to that? We get all filled up with the Spirit, but then, whoop, starts coming out this hole or that hole, right? This sin here, that unbelief there, right? I leak too, and I need to be filled with the Spirit constantly, daily. So I want to give you three words then here today that I think summarize for us what it means to walk with the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And those three words are this: yield, confess, trust. As you are walking through the day, as you are going about living out your Christian life, keep in step with the Spirit by yielding to Him, submitting to Him, by confessing sin, and by trusting Him, putting your faith and confidence in Him and in His power. You know, when I was in high school, I was in the marching band. I was a percussionist. Actually, strike that. I was not a percussionist. I was a drummer. Some of you know the difference, don't you? I was not a percussionist. There's someone who's watching online now, I think, who knows very well the difference between percussionists and drummers. And I was not a percussionist. I took on the role of a percussionist so that I could be a drummer. Some of you know what I'm talking about now, don't you, there with that. But anyway, in the fall, when it was marching band season, as we would march, of course, one of the things you had to do as a member of the band, as you were in a parade or out on the field in a performance of some kind, had to make sure that you were in step. Everybody said left, right, keeping in step all the time. Now, you don't just start off. You know, everybody starts on the left foot, then right, left, right. You all know that. But eventually, somehow, some way, people get out of step, don't they? And I have to tell you, if you know anything about this, when someone is out of step, like in a band, it is very obvious. It stands out. And so you're always having to make sure that you are in step, and you're always kind of keeping an eye out for one another to make sure that you're in step. And so I remember, like, say, in a parade, we're walking along and we're all in step. I've got the drum here like this. And out of the corner of your eye, you can see that the guy next to you is out of step. And so you're doing that. You're marching along and you say, you're out of step, you're out of step, you're out of step. Try to get their attention. Now, you might think, well, how do I get back in step? How am I going to get in step? As I'm on the left and everybody else is on their right. So how do I get back in step? Well, there's a little trick. That's just called, and it's very easy to get back in step. It's just called a hop step. So as you're walking along like this, you just do like that, and you're instantly right back in step. See? That's no big deal. You might think, how am I going to get back in step? Well, it's very easy. You just do a little quick hop step like that, and there you are. You're back in step. Well, we're not talking about marching band here today and keeping in step in that sense. What are we talking about? We're keeping about keeping in step with the Spirit. So what's the little hop step to keep in step with the Spirit? Confession for sin. Yielding, confessing, trusting Him. And usually when we're out of step, it's because of sin, and we have to hop step. And what do? Confess our sins. What does Scripture say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a way of life. When you get out of step with the Spirit, take a hop step of confession. Yield to Him, confess, and trust. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this? Well, I want to remind us then, again, that though we are all permanently indwelt by the Spirit, nevertheless, we must choose daily to walk in dependence on His power, to keep in step with the Spirit. We need to yield to the Spirit daily. We need to yield to the Spirit daily. I wish it was a one-time thing, don't you? That we just submitted ourselves to Him and then we never ever got out of His will. It doesn't work that way. We need to constantly yield, submit to Him. We need to confess our sin immediately. Confess our sin immediately. Don't wait. Don't let it. But take that quick hop step right away. You know, just like it's so obvious when a member of a marching band is out of step, I think it's pretty obvious when a follower of Jesus gets out of step, isn't it? Take that hop step of confession then immediately. Don't wait. But then finally, we need to trust. Need to trust the Spirit fully. Trust the Spirit fully. You know, I've told you this story here before. So some of you who have heard it before, a little reminder. For those who haven't, then, I hope maybe you will be encouraged or benefit by this. When we talk about trusting the Spirit and the Spirit's power, I always like to think of this story. When I was in seminary, my first job I had in seminary was working for UPS. Anybody ever worked for UPS or package delivery? Okay, we have some. And, you know, it was a good job. It was a good paying job. But it's hard work. And I was assigned to become a primary sorter, which it means this, that these trucks would come into this huge warehouse, and the trucks would back up, and then people inside, they would unload all the packages, the boxes off of the truck, and it would come onto this huge conveyor belt And my job then was to pick up this package, look at the zip code, and you have to memorize like these eight different colors and all these zip codes. Like, okay, zip code, I still remember some of them, 94105, that goes to the blue belt, right? So you've got all of these zip codes. You have to remember all the zip codes and the eight different colored belts it goes on to, because there would be a truck at somewhere along the line on that blue belt or that yellow belt or that red belt that would then go loaded into that truck. So you'd pick this package up. It's like, oh, this one goes on the blue. Oh, that one goes on the yellow. And that was hard work, you know, to do that, keeping up with that, all those packages constantly. It's kind of like, remember the old episode of I Love Lucy, where she's like the chocolates or something like that? And it's just, it kind of felt like that sometimes with those packages coming at you, right? So you're doing that. And I tell you, you know what? That's hard work, doing that, picking those packages up and the mental work of it too, turning it around, getting it on the right belt. It's this one down here. It's that one up there. It's that one there. And doing all that. And that was not an easy thing to do. But you know what would have been even harder? Taking that package and walking several hundred yards down to the end of this huge warehouse to put it in the truck. And then going back and picking up another. Oh, this one goes in this one over this. Oh, way over on the other side, right? So that would have been even harder work to do that. And, you know, I think in the same way then, you know, walking in the Spirit is, it's work. God never said it was going to be easy to be a faithful follower of Jesus. But he has given us the power to make it possible. But we still have our part, our effort. And so taking up those packages and doing my part with that, those conveyor belt systems did the real heavy lifting, if you will. They took it and they carried it hundreds of yards or feet away where someone else then would put it in the truck. And it was a lot easier doing it that way than trying to carry every individual package to those trucks. But it was still work. And I think in the same way then, you and I have a job of walking in the Spirit, of yielding, confessing, and putting our faith in him. But then he does the hard work, the heavy lifting then. Sermon was supposed to end there. And then I read a devotional this morning. And I read that and I thought, you know what? That's good. I needed that reminder too. So I want to remind you of this last point here. Rest in God's grace deeply. I have felt like a failure on any number of occasions. But I'm so thankful for God's grace, deeper than any ocean. Hey, that'd be a good line for a worship song or something, don't you think? Yeah. So, anyway, here's God's grace, deeper than any ocean. Rest in God's grace deeply, because this devotional this morning was talking about how God uses failure, how we have all failed. We all continue to fail, but God's grace is greater than our failure. And God can work in failure for good. Have you seen God work good in your life through your failure? I have. So yield to the Spirit daily. Confess your sin immediately. Trust the Spirit fully, but rest in God's grace deeply. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have given us the Helper, that you have not given us a command which is impossible to obey. You said, if we love you, we will obey your commandments. And God, I have failed at that. We have all failed at that. But thank you that your grace is deeper than our failure. Thank you that you have given us your Spirit who empowers us to be obedient to you. Lord, may we walk daily in submission to him. When we sin, when we blow it, God, may we confess that sin immediately and be thankful that your grace is greater than our sin. And may we trust you, walking in faith, knowing, Lord, that what you tell us is good, is right, is best, and that you will give us the strength we need to obey. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.